I have to share something with you guys. I discovered something huge. Did you know that it is better to open a popsicle package from the end that has the stick, not the end that has the sticky popsicle? Mind blown. To things I'd never say with me, Lindsay Lewis. So let's talk about why this podcast is called Things I'd Never Say. I know if you've listened to the other ones, you have an idea because you've heard me talk about it. And I think this concept is worth repeating. So I believe that we have two sides to us. One side is masterful and graceful and intuitive and creative and very able to navigate anything that happens in life. Steps up to challenges, no matter how new they are. And then we have the other side that isn't the opposite of that. That is not masterful, graceful, intuitive, that is small and scared and gets stuck and frustrated and confused and doesn't know what to do. And also as other things come up. Now, I've spent a lot of my life cultivating living from the other side, that side that is creative and tuned in and intuitive. And I've supported my clients in connecting to this space inside them and living their life from that space. And they've seen dramatic results. I have seen dramatic results in my own life. I love living from that side. But what it has meant is that the other side of me, the uncertain, the scared, the unsure, the messy part of me, often has gotten compartmentalized and tucked away, has not got a lot of airtime in my life. And so this podcast is another arena that I am allowing and encouraging that part of me to get some airtime. So this is the stuff I'd never say, things I'd never say, typically, because I'm living from the other side so often. I'm creating this podcast for two reasons. One, for me, so that I can express and give loving and affirmation to the parts of me that don't feel like she's got anything figured out, which is how I feel every moment of every day almost. Now that I have a new baby. And I am also creating this podcast for you who is listening. Whether you just find it entertaining to listen to me talk about what I do not have figured out, or you may find it affirming to listen to what I do not have figured out, so that you also know that it's okay to not have it all figured out. So that is things I'd never say. So what's happening? It has been over a month since our little one came into our lives, and some days I think, I cannot believe it is going so fast. It's going too fast. We need to slow it down. Those are typically the days when I sit on the grass with her, and she's lying on a blanket, and she's giggling, and she's smiling, and looking at me, and her little toes are out in the air, and it's just the cutest, most wonderful moment, and I wish I could pause time. And there are other days when I think, when are we going to hit the two-month part? When are we going to hit the three-month part so that we can get more sleep? That's been going on. What else has been happening? I thought that I was doing really awesome with the body love. I committed to doing that during my pregnancy. I made a fierce commitment that I would not judge or dislike my body. I would appreciate and be in awe of my body during my pregnancy. And that worked. And it was incredible. And I thought it would just magically continue. And I hadn't really given it a lot of thought. And then something happened that told me I need to do a little bit of work in this arena. I was out walking and I got like the full out leery checkout by a construction worker, and I felt something very different from my usual, ew, no, no thank you. I don't like that. I felt Like, yes, he checked me out. So that was a moment where I realized, oh, I'm not feeling so hot in my bod if I feel like I need that, if I feel like that's what I need to affirm myself. So I've started doing some work on that. Also, continually surrendering. I was out with one of my mom friends. We ran into her husband. He asked if grabbing a coffee would fit with our plan. And we just laughed. Because you can't make a plan. You can make a hope for. I hope we get to do this today. I hope the next thing that happens my day is. But you can't make a plan. So surrendering. That's what I'm doing. What else? What else is happening? Well, here's a bunch of things that are happening. These are things that you do when you have a new baby. And by you, I mean me. You know, you do things like put the world on pause and you just lie in bed. You just curled around her, you know, wiggling her toes. Call your husband downstairs, like, come quick, because she's laughing for the first time. And apparently, you fart. Nobody told me this was part of it. I did not realize until I went to see my OBGYN for my 6-week checkup, and she asked me, you know, like, how's your farting and your accidental peeing? And all I could think was, why didn't someone tell me this was going to be part of it? Because I had been concerned. I had just instantly entered the geriatric phase of life. But apparently, it is just all part of the bliss of being a new mom. What else is happening? Well, I have a confession. Something else that you do when you have a new baby. And by you, I mean me. And before I confess it, I have to tell you, this is not for everyone's ears. So don't say I did not warn you. If you choose to continue to listen. The confession is this. Matt and I now have a seriously kinky sex life. Pinky fingers are involved. We have entered into a whole new sex phase. It's called not having it. Because baby's either on me or him. She's at a phase where she just doesn't want to be put down. Plus, we sleep separately. Whoever is on baby duty is in the room with the baby, and whoever is trying to sleep is in our room sleeping. Plus, we're exhausted. So these days, the only thing I'm gripping between my thighs is my water bottle as I attempt to unscrew the top of it off with one hand. Our new sex is when we get to sit side by side on the couch, baby's either on me or him, and we get to hold hands. But usually it's just like our pinky fingers get to hold hands because both hands are involved for one of us with the baby. So pinky fingers. Pinky finger sex. That's what is happening. Another thing that happens when you have a new baby, you gain razor sharp insight into your own perspective. You become very objective. So for me, I have a history of anxiety. And anxiety shows up differently in different people from what I understand. But for me, my experience was that it colored everything. It just painted my whole life with this wash of everything is not going well. That's how I would see it. Everything could be going amazing, but I would see everything is not going well. And so the medical professionals in my life, my family doctor, my OBGYN, they asked me throughout the pregnancy, how are you doing with the anxiety? And I was like, awesome, I'm doing so great. It's totally not an issue. They asked me again after the baby came, how's that doing? How's that going? Awesome, totally fine, not an issue. Then I called a nursing consultant in because I wanted to make sure my baby was nursing well, getting everything she needed. I was pretty convinced that she wasn't. I was very concerned that I was doing something wrong, that my baby was not getting enough nutrients. So the nutrition, the lactation consultant comes in, she assesses everything, she weighs her after nursing, and I'm watching her going like, is everything okay? Like, oh my gosh. So she does all that stuff, and then she gives me the big pronouncement. you are fine. There is nothing at all unhealthy or hungry looking about this baby. She's great at this, and you are great at this. You do not need my help. Guys, this is the second time I've called her in. The first time, what she mainly did was reassure me everything was perfect and great. And I realized, ah, damn, my anxiety has been coming up, coloring everything. So as she's leaving, she says, next time you call me, I'll meet you at a coffee shop. And I won't bring all my lactation and nursing stuff because you won't need it. So guys, as I said, razor sharp insight into your own perspective. You become very objective. So my new mission is to find a very high quality pot supplier, weed supplier. Just kidding. My new mission is to relax. Also, what do you do when you have a new baby? I started being excessively blunt with people. I am saying things I have never said out in the world, guys, to family and random strangers. I was getting a chiropractor treatment from Matt, my hubby, and when apparently it's very common for if there's a baby in the room during a chiropractor treatment, mom's lying on the table, basically looks like she's getting beat up, and the table makes all these really loud noises. Babies don't like it. They cry. Typically, Matt's office manager holds our little one. She couldn't this particular day. So our little one was in the room. She was crying. We were like, let's just power through, get this treatment done. We can pick her up and give her lots of cuddles. A knock comes on the door. We finish the treatment. It's a very short. Anyways, I open the door and it's this stranger, this random woman who I've never met before, who says, can I please take the baby? And Matt has picked her up by this point and she's calming down. And we say, no, thank you. We're fine. She's still upset. We want to focus on just soothing her, not handing her off to this strange woman. And then this woman says, I just need to see her. And I looked at this woman and I said, she is upset and we need to soothe her and you need to leave right now. Guys, I said that to someone. These are the kind of things that you have to say when you have a new baby. Very blunt. My mother-in-law wanted to do a baby shower. My immediate reaction was not, oh, thank you, or oh, yes, let's just like talk about it and what we'll do and what will happen there. My immediate reaction was, we're not doing that until June. Straight off the bat. See, because what a lot of people don't know about me is I'm an introvert. And if you do not know what an introvert is, I'll explain. Basically, we hate people. Nah, it's more of a social anxiety thing. When I'm in a big group of people, I can get kind of floaty, like I'm trying to leave my body. I think my father-in-law has deduced this about me because the other night they were planning a dinner and they were asking Matt and I to please come and join them. And he said to me, Lindsay, it's going to be a big crowd. In a tone like, don't freak out, Lindsay, but I have to give you this bad news. And I asked, okay, well, how many people? And he said, Six. I mean, you definitely don't want to run into six people at once. That is cause for total mayhem. That's how capable of being in a crowd my father-in-law sees me as. It's also very sweet. It's evidence that he's paid attention and wants me to be happy. Here's what a new dad does when he has a baby. My mom and mother-in-law both made us a lot of soup to freeze and eat. Because, of course, we don't have a lot of time to cook. They're doing baby stuff. So Matt gets up in the morning. He's all bleary-eyed. He grabs his lunch from the freezer. He's going to take it to work. He gets to work. He microwaves it. He pulls it out. He's been super busy. So he's very hungry. He sits down to inhale his lunch. It's spaghetti sauce. That's also been happening. Here's how I know that this time is a big deal. It's a big deal, guys. You know how people pretty much across the board talk about setting boundaries with your mother-in-law? This is just a typical thing. Most women, when asked about this subject, will very loudly and very adamantly assert that you need to establish you are the head of the household. Let her know that she needs to give you a heads up and ask before showing up. Speak up for what you're going to do inside your relationship. Take a stand for that. All these things. These days, something else is happening. Something really, really unusual. Something that tells me that this time in our lives is a very big deal, because people have started recommending that I invite my mother-in-law into my home for extended periods of time. It goes like this. Do you have help? You need help. Ask for help. Oh, your mom doesn't live in Vancouver? Ask your mother-in-law. Yes, I said your mother-in-law. I know. But... and then they shrug, like, what else can we do at such a time? Guys, here's what Mindy Kaling is up to this week. And if you have listened to the first podcast, you know that I do this because I like her. She's the one celebrity that I'm like an avid fan of. When I found out that she was pregnant, it was about at the time when I thought I may be pregnant sometime down the line. And so I started watching to see how she was going to navigate having a baby, so that maybe, you know, I could have some insight into how I was going to navigate having a baby. Because I think when I read her books, I was like, you know, we're kind of alike. Me and Mindy Kaling, we're very alike in some ways. And here's what she's been up to this week. Here's how she's navigating having a new baby. She appeared on the cover of Shape magazine. She promoted her two books that she wrote, paired with Perfect Snacks and Drinks. And she filmed more of her movie Late Night with Emma Thompson. And she did more press in New York for Ocean's 8 and a dress with pearls on it. And here's what I did this week. Laundry. I did a lot of laundry. Had my own neuroses smack me in the face again. Got a lot of spit up on me. A lot. So, like I always say, guys, me and Mindy Kaling, twins. That's it for today. That's it for this week. Sending you off with so much loving, so much, hopefully, brevity. I hope that whatever you're in the midst of, life in general, or something that is a smaller duration or shorter period of time, you can find the grace and joy and fun and funny in the midst of the mess.